today on It's Time.
The world will lie to you. God will never tell you wrong. God will always tell you straight.
Welcome to It's Time, the daily Bible teaching program of Mike Kessler, pastor of the River Christian Fellowship in Twin Falls, Idaho. Today, we're going through the book of Genesis. So, turn there in your Bible and follow along with Pastor Mike.
It's time for these wounds to heal.
Genesis chapter 31. Laban represents the world. Jacob represents the things of God. Friends, understand this. We have no inheritance in the world. Your inheritance is in God. Whether in that time when we stand before Him or here on this earth, you're God's property and God takes care of you. Remember that. It's not just fire insurance. It's that God's anointing is upon you. Wherever you go, the rest of today, tomorrow, and the rest of your life, a little piece of heaven goes wherever you go. Because the kingdom of God, Jesus said, comes within you. Yes, someday in heaven, but where the Spirit of God reigns is where God's at. You, the Bible says, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God does not, the Bible says, dwell in buildings made with men's hands. Yeah, it's a nice box we have here. Lights, heater, air conditioning. It's a good box, okay? Good box. But God doesn't live in the box. God lives in you. The reason this building today is a holy building is because you, who have the Spirit of God living in you, made it holy. I feel bad for the religions of the world. They have their temple and they sanctify their building. Hey, listen, God doesn't care about buildings. He cares about the people in the buildings. The Bible says where two are gathered in His name, He's there in the midst of them. That's the sanctuary that God lives in, is you. He will never live in buildings. Religions of the world today, I don't know if you ever noticed this, but have you ever noticed the ornate temples in the cults? And you can go to India, you can go to Salt Lake, you can go wherever you want to go, you'll see ornate temples. Do you know why those temples are ornate? Do you know why? They believe their God lives in the box. The Bible says God does not live in buildings made with men's hands. He lives in you. Remember that. Where you go, an element of God goes. Where you go, an element of this kingdom of heaven goes. And so you are the inheritance. We have no inheritance in Laban. We have no inheritance. There's nothing in the world that I want. But what I do want is what God wants for me. Because God has a purpose. When you become born again, it's not just heaven someday, but He saved you for a purpose, for a reason, and equips us with the things around us to do a better job for Him. Rachel and Leah were concerned about that. They felt that they got cheated. Listen, we have always been cheated by the world. Welcome to real life. Have you lived long enough, everyone, to know the world ain't fair? You see people that are wicked, that are blasphemers, watch late night television, and it seems like they're the ones that are excelling in society and they're the beautiful people. And you go, but what about us? Hey, you have an inheritance far greater than anything they have. Never look at the world through envy and say, oh, I wish I had that. You've got something so much better. You have an inheritance not made with men's hands. You have an inheritance from your Father in heaven. And that's such an important thing to always remember, because that sets us free from desiring to steal. It sets us free from the desiring to covet, because I don't want what they have. Because you know what? When I remember MC Hammer. Remember him? Can't touch that. Okay? He's a Christian. He loves God. And I remember a picture of him sitting outside of his mansion that he lost because he couldn't pay the taxes on it in front. And on the gate, it still said MC on the gate. Power gate. And you know, it was so interesting to watch that, because though he got this stuff, he had to maintenance that stuff. But what God gives you is yours. Rachel and Leah, what's our inheritance? Pops has burned through it. Yeah, he did. He literally took his daughter's dowry that rightly belonged to both Rachel and Leah. 7 years for Rachel, 7 years for Leah. Whichever way you want to look at that. But there was nothing left. He has consumed our money. Verse 16 now. For all these riches which God has taken from our father are really ours and our children's. Now then, whatever God has said to you, let's do it. Then Jacob arose and set his sons and wives on camels. By the way, that showed that he was wealthy. He had camels to set them on. You know, they were their means of transportation in those days. I suppose they had dingle balls and racing hooves, whatever it was. But he set his family on them. And he carried away all of his livestock, his possessions, which they had gained, and acquired livestock, which he had gained in Padan Aram, to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. He was going to go back home, is where he was going. Now, when Laban had gone to shear the sheep, Rachel had stolen the household idols that were her father's. Now, why did she steal them? That's probably, you know, she's stolen the family's gods. You'd think the family gods could take care of themselves. I don't know, just things that make you go, hmm. But why did she steal them? There's a lot of theory on why this is. One, she wasn't really converted to the God of her husband. Maybe she still wanted to worship them. Another possibility is that we know previously what Laban had said, that he inquired of these gods for divination. What should I do? I don't know how they would answer, but maybe that was part of it. Some people believe that whoever had the family gods had the family deeds to the property. That might be a possibility, that by owning these gods, that showed I owned what my parents had. We just read about where they said, he's burned through all of our money. Maybe he took their gods, his gods, for revenge. She was mad. I'll show you. But some people believe that actually, according to Hebrew tradition, that Rachel stole the gods so he could no longer be an idolater. Don't know. But it's interesting here that the gods are gone. And so Jacob left, stowed away, unknown to Laban the Syrian. And he did not tell him where he intended to flee. So he fled with all that he had. He arose, crossed over the river, and headed towards the mountains of Gilead. Now this, his journey is going to be about 300 miles. Now you think about how far 300 miles is. He's loaded up everything that he has, all his cattle, and so he could probably only move 15, 20 miles a day. Moving all this, you know, it's like the old, you know, the cattle drives in the Midwest, you know, yeah, get along, little doggies, you know, all this is moving across the desert. Well, it says that, verse 22, Laban was told on the third day that Jacob had fled. And he took his brethren with him and pursued him for 7 days' journey, and he overtook him in the mountains of Gilead. But God had come to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said to him, be careful that you speak when you speak to Jacob, neither good nor bad. So Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mountains, and Laban and it with his brethren pitched him in the mountains of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, what have you done that you have stolen away unknown to me and carried away my daughters like captives taken with the sword? I really believe Laban at this point is trying to do the guilt trip on Jacob. What is this you've done?
I love you, baby. You've taken away my daughters. I didn't even get to kiss my grandkids goodbye.
Now remember, not everybody, like I said, one of the things I love about the Bible is it gives you keen insight on the human nature of people. So you can learn not only that God is your Savior, but you also learn about how rascal-like people can be. So he tries the guilt trip on Jacob. What have you done that you've stolen away unknown to me and carried away my daughters like captives with the sword? Why have you fleed secretly and steal away from me and not tell me? For I might have sent you away with joy and song and timbrel and harp. I would have thrown you a party. No. In fact, again, if we go back to the very first part of the chapter, it tells us that his countenance, Laban's countenance, changed towards Jacob. Have you ever noticed that the world will lie to you? Has anybody bought a used car? The world will lie to you. God will never tell you wrong. God will always tell you straight. And you did not allow me to kiss my sons and my daughters, literally his grandson and his granddaughters. Now you have done foolish in doing. And this is my power to do you. It's within me to do you harm. But the God of your father spoke to me last night saying, be careful that you speak to Jacob, neither good nor bad. And now you've surely gone because you greatly long for your father's house. But why did you steal my gods? You know, there's things in the Bible I don't understand. And here's one of them. Laban goes to Jacob and says, the God of your fathers appeared to me in a dream and said, don't you touch Jacob. But this is why I'm mad at you. You stole my gods. Does anybody think this is weird? If your gods are so good, let them take care of themselves. I am amazed what people will trust in. I'm amazed what people think will bring about what they desire.
Well, you know, I've got my rabbit's foot in my pocket.
Remember, it wasn't good luck for the rabbit. People trust in weird things, and it's brought into the church. I remember, I use this often because it burns such a image in my mind, but I remember when I was a kid, and I'd ask my mom, why are these little statues glued to the dashboard of people's cars? And my mom said, well, in the Catholic Church, they believe that's St. Christopher, the patron saint of protection, and he'll protect you. And this little plastic thing stuck to the dashboard. I'm invincible. Really? Well, then the Catholic Church had a decision, and they said that they decided that St. Christopher wasn't the patron saint of protection, and so pop, 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 everybody broke them off. People trust in the weirdest things. Now, if you're in the Mormon Church, if you're a Mormon here today, I don't wish to offend you. I just want to tell you some foolish things. When you're sealed for time and eternity in the temple, you wear your Mormon undergarments. These protect you like a St. Christopher does. No! Garments don't protect. Maybe from sunburn, I don't know. Frostbite, yeah, maybe. But what I'm saying is that our protection is not in things of this world. It's in God. And God will protect me whether I have a piece of plastic on the dash of my car or a sacred undergarment. God protects us. Why? Because you're his kids. Our Father, which art in heaven. I have no need to be jealous of anything in the world. Again, do you know why? Because our God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. That is where we leave it. We go, God, thank you that you give me what I need each day. Now you say, but Mike, you don't understand. I've got to come up with this thing and I don't have the money. I've shared this story before. Again, I've seen God provide in amazing ways, even in my own life. It isn't necessarily multiplying the loaves and fishes, but I needed a big valve one time for a well I was drilling. It was a $3,000 item. I didn't have the money to buy it, and I found a brand new one at a scrap metal yard for $15. And I remember looking at it, and I'm just going, God, you really know how to do this. God knows what you need, the Bible says, before you ask. I think it's so funny. The positive confession movement, you know, blab it, grab it. I want this, and I want the red one with airco and tinted glass, and I got to be specific so God doesn't make a mistake. That's what they actually say. Well, first of all, God doesn't make mistakes. God knows what I need before I ask. And all God wants from you and me is just to say, Daddy, I'm here. You give, put in my life and take out of my life the things that don't belong and put in my life the things that do. That's the dad you have in heaven. Friends, it's not just fire insurance on judgment day. It's that you have a personal relationship with God through your whole life where he will see you through. And when Laban says, you've taken away my gods, really? Did you ever think that maybe if somebody could take it away, you didn't really have it? You see, what you have from God can never be taken away. And we look and we see how foolish people's theories and ideas are apart from a true and living God. Believing in incantations and spells and lucky rabbit's feet. But you're not like that. If you're born again here this morning, you have a relationship with your God in heaven. Now, maybe you've let the lies of this world come in and supplant that simple love that God has for you. But I want to share this with you. God, your dad, is standing with his arms wide open saying, come home. Come home. Don't try to earn what I've given you. I love you too much for that. Just come home and get in my arms. And tell me everything that's on your heart. But you don't understand, God. I've messed it up so bad. I've broken so many things. And God says, I'm bigger than the things you've broken. I can fix it. Letting God fix the things that are wrong in your life. Man, I'll tell you, friends, who rejects this? I don't know. A God bigger than the things I've done wrong? A God bigger than the things that people have done wrong to me? And God has a way to fix that. And then on top of it, my life means something in this world. And then in eternity. I've shared this so many times. I know many of you that come to this church regularly are sick of hearing me saying it. But I'll probably say it as long as I'm here. Went to a yard sale. They had all the junk on the table and down below in a box, anything in the box, a quarter. And here in the box were trophies. You know, fastest 50-yard dash. The person was a runner, had all these trophies. I thought about the time, the effort, the training, all the things that went into being number one in your field to get that trophy, only to have it being sold in a box for a quarter and no one wanted it. Don't you think you'd rather dedicate your life to something that there's a trophy in heaven for you forever, in which the Lord that day, when you stand before him, will say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord, instead of having my life, my trophies, in a box for a quarter that no one even wants. Man, I'll tell you, I thought about that, and that hit me. You know, it's weird that sometimes God, how he speaks to you. And when I saw that, it was like, I just, oh, it was like something hit me in the tummy. And I went, oh, wow. How important is it, what I do, what you do, to point people to the kingdom of God, so their whole life, when they're at the end of it, doesn't have a bunch of trophies in a box for a quarter. You see how important it is, friends? You have the keys to the kingdom. Daddy has given you the keys to the car.
But I don't know how to drive.
That's where it gets real fun. Because he does. This morning, if you're not a Christian, I want to invite you to come in to the kingdom of heaven. It's not just fire insurance, though that's what we do need on Judgment Day. But what we do need is we need a reason to live for, a faith to live by, and a self we can live with. And if you have missing any one of those three, you're going to be miserable in your life. First, you need a reason to live for. What lights your fire? Why do you get out of bed in the morning? You need a reason to live for. You need a faith you can live by. What's your code of ethics? How do you live? Well, that's why we have the Bible. And a self we can live with. Do you know how many times in this room the devil has come to people in this room and said, just kill yourself this week? I know. He does it to me. So I know. You see, a self you can live with. But I can't love myself. I look at all my sin in my life. I'm a failure. God says, I'm bigger than things you've done wrong. This morning, if you want to come into God's kingdom, let's pray. If you're tired of the way you lived, you don't want another 10 years like you just had, let's pray. Let's see what God will do as we pray together. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I am sorry for the way I've lived. And I believe Jesus died on the cross. His blood covered my sins. And from this day forward, I commit my life into your hands. So make me the best I can be for you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Empower me so that I'll walk in your ways. I'll love those people that don't know you. And I'll have the boldness to speak in your name. And thank you for eternal life with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. That fast, you pray. Bible says, old things pass away, behold, all things become new. Why is that? You realize why you're here. You're not a cosmic accident. Lightning didn't hit a swamp, and here you are. No! You were divinely created by a God who loves you.
Thanks for joining us on It's Time, as Pastor Mike teaches verse by verse through the Bible. If you've missed a program or would like to catch up, you can do so by getting it from the It's Time podcast in the iTunes store, or by downloading it from the It's Time website at theriverchristianfellowship.com. On behalf of Pastor Mike and the rest of us here at the River Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening, and tune in next time for It's Time.